today on Compassion Radio.
We don't have any idea that God is using you right here, right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can even take years before you look back and say, ah, I get it. Now I see why this happened, or why God put it on my heart to do this or to say that.
And how does that then inform the way you lead worship?
For me, it simply means when I sit down at my desk to put aside distractions, to spend time before I even take one note and put it down on paper, just to say, God, I need you to talk to me right now.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where faith and action meet, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. Now, how many of us have looked up at the worship leader on the stage at church and thought, wow, this guy or this gal gets to sing to the Lord for a living? Wow, what a great life. Well, it is a great life, but there's a lot more that goes along with that. A lot more goes on behind the scenes that many of us just don't realize. Now, today's guest, Andy Krieger, is an old friend of Bram's who's going to share with us what it means to serve the Lord in this way. And he's going to give us some insight on the things that go on in the life of a worship leader. Here's part two of that conversation.
To a large degree, and I won't say that this is a woe unto us, all churches going downhill in America. It is not, because
absolutely,
I've seen that compassion and the passion of believers across this country responding to programs we've had.
Yeah.
And they're living this life in these churches, and many of them have stories, I'm sure of that, of how
sure,
God has entered in the mix and really messed with the minds of the do-gooders that want to do church for people.
Mm-hmm.
And God shows up and disrupts all that.
Right.
And wins people to himself.
Yeah.
He reasserts his primacy within the body. And those are beautiful things when you see them happen. I'd love to hear from the listeners out there to this program. If you have stories about how God interrupted church as usual and really set you on a new path, I'd love to find out about that, because I want to hear more people like you, Andy, who have that passion for worship to come alive right in our churches here in America and not be afraid of the Holy Spirit intervening where we are afraid to go.
What's amazing with the whole worship experience when the Holy Spirit shows up, currently I'm leading worship in a really small church that several years ago was leaning very heavily to an older generation. As we have begun to change our worship style a little bit, we're getting families with children there. But what is amazing to see is the older generation and the younger generation worshiping together.
Yes.
That might seem like it's not the natural way it would happen, because of style issues. And
yeah, most of the solutions I've seen are either hybrid services where you do some of what would seem old, some of what would seem new,
mm-hmm,
or bifurcating your services altogether, mm-hmm, and having a youth service and a more traditional service.
Right. What I try to do, whether I'm doing contemporary, traditional, or somewhere in between, is to do it in such a way that it's 100% Spirit-driven and mm-hmm, led.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that style issue is not an issue anymore.
Yeah. Things done excellently and with passion and with truth don't seem to have the kind of resistance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do a hymn, do it well.
Right.
If you're going to sing what sounds like a pop song to grandpa and grandpa,
yeah,
do it with real passion and real spirit of worship.
Absolutely.
It can be done. Again, it's not something we generate from our own strength. We open ourselves up and saying, God, I don't know how to connect with these people in a way that honors you, but
mm-hmm,
you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes out of my lips right now, Lord, I pray that you have ordained it, and that you will be pleased, and that in my weakness, you will make it strong.
Yeah.
You know, and you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, no matter where you find yourself delivering this message, whether it's behind a piano or on a big platform or just down amongst the kids in the front of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That offering of living sacrifice is something you know it when you see it.
Absolutely.
Especially with those who have the skill that could get away with being prima donnas,
mm-hmm,
could get away with not really worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have skill and submission to the Spirit of God are not nervous in the sense that they're not looking for approval or worried they're going to fail somebody. They are overjoyed they get to offer something to God and to the body.
Right.
And that's when I see that happen in people, whether they're young, old, whatever the skill level, you know that the Spirit's going to be there because you know the Spirit's going to be pleased.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to work with people like that, too, in my church. And we've gone through a lot of growth in our community because I'm in a part of Texas that's booming.
Uh-huh.
And you are now stepping out of some of the big ministry stuff into this more intimate relationship with a smaller church because mm-hmm. God brought you there. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about a story you told me earlier today about what worship leadership became for you. It actually turned into an opportunity for shepherding and for evangelism through lifestyle evangelism ministry mm-hmm. and taking seriously the injunction, James, to care for the widows and orphans. Tell me about the family that really locked it in for you, said, I am still called to ministry. This is what it's all about. I'm so glad I'm here.
This goes back to the middle 80s. Okay. I had the privilege of being in Honduras. The ministry team I was working with at that point was partnering with World Vision, and they had sent me and several of us to Honduras to see what they were doing firsthand and how their ministry was impacting lives on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. But I got on the plane, flew down there, and we spent roughly a week going from village to village. But what impacted me the most, aside from seeing all the great things that World Vision was doing, and they have an amazing ministry, what impacted me was one woman who was housing several of us in her house overnight, and she was so overjoyed by what God had blessed her with through that particular ministry, she wanted to thank us. I don't think saw the big picture of what was happening around her country or around the world through that other ministry. She saw how it impacted her. Mm. And those of us that were in
that
her
is
home,
the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those of us that were in her home, she wanted to thank.
When they thank, they mean honor.
Honor, yeah. Yes. So she and her daughter, they lived alone. They had a little dung hut, probably about the size of the room you and I are in here, 10 by 20, with a curtain down the middle. You ate on one side, you slept on the other.
Yeah.
But they had saved their money to provide a meal for us that night. And she had saved her money, I don't know how long, weeks, maybe even months. And she got us breakfast cereal that you and I, we get up in the morning and we're upset if the cupboard has no cereal in it for our breakfast. Mm-hmm. And she saved her money for that for us because she wanted to say thank you. And the milk that we had came from the goat in her backyard. Mm. I tell you, I got smacked upside the head that night.
Coming up next, more on what goes on behind the scenes in the life of a worship leader.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. All through the month of March, we have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. Again, our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478 and our website is CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. A final word about this month's Door of Hope Project. There are only 2 days left to meet this month's matching challenge grant of $4,000. So please get a hold of us right away to make sure we meet that goal. Thanks so much for your prayerful consideration. We hope to hear from you soon.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
You and I, we get up in the morning and we're upset if the cupboard has no cereal in it for our breakfast. Mm-hmm. And she saved her money for that for us because she wanted to say thank you. And the milk that we had came from the goat in her backyard. Mm. I tell you, I got smacked upside the head that night. Mm. Because all of a sudden, I realized it's not about the big production that I can do. Mm. It's not about doing that big song that gets people off of their feet. It's not about any of that. Mm. It's about changing somebody's life by reaching out to them at their point of need.
And my experience with those kind of situations, Andy, is that when you have sat in the presence of humble servant leadership like that, and you've been ministered to by Jesus, you come back and you're ready to stand up and praise.
Absolutely.
You know, coming back to worship is a privilege.
Yep. I'm all about those big moments. I love that. I'm a geek guy. You know, I'm a music guy and a techno geek guy. I love all that stuff. I will use it every chance I get.
That lesson you learned in Honduras played out in another story you told me about a family that's in your congregation now. And you are in a mixed community economically. Mm-hmm. Kalamazoo has a lot of stratification. Mm-hmm. And some of these families are not intact. They're broken families for one reason or the other.
Yep.
You told me about some kids that really moved your heart.
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Three kids that have been coming to our church recently that God has placed them on my heart. And I don't know why. I'm still in the process of finding out how God wants me best to minister to them. But every Sunday morning, I wait for them. I watch for them in the lobby, and I'm out there to welcome them and find out how their week's gone. A Christian concert came through here in the Grand Rapids area about a month ago called the Winter Jam. And God said, you need to take those kids. Bought them tickets, brought them out that night, and had a blast with them. And they had never been to anything like that before.
And no, when you mean anything like that before, you're not just talking about a Christian festival.
No, I'm talking any event. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come from a home where they don't have the resources to attend events like that. They didn't have the money to buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, we stood outside to get inside the building for an hour beforehand in the cold, and they're wearing T-shirts, you mm-hmm. know. It came down to, again, those kids had a need.
Before you get to explaining the rest of the story here, Andy, mm-hmm. what was their real need at that point? Was there a need for a happy, fun experience to feel like they're part of something? What did they need from you?
They needed a friend. Mm. Their dad's in jail. I'm not ever going to be their dad, and I don't ever intend to replace their dad. That's not my intent at all. But I can be their friend. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus wants me to do. Mm. He wants me to say, hey, man, how'd your week go? Tell me about something great that happened this week, and let me celebrate with you. Or maybe it's just the opposite. What hurt this week that I can help with?
And learning how to ask the questions that actually get answers.
Right. You know.
We get very satisfied with how you're doing today. Mm-hmm. And we answer, fine.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Thanks for asking.
Right.
We don't ask questions that actually elicit answers that have meaning to them.
Right.
Unless we discipline ourselves to do that. And in ministry, we really need to do that. Whether we're a lay person coming into church and sitting in the back pew, that's been our life, or whether we're a pastor that's trained to be on call all the time, we still have the opportunity calling to say, God, use me today, please. Mm-hmm. Let me meet somebody and love them in your name. If we ask God those questions before we even walk in the room, dime to donuts here, he's going to give you the opportunity about right. 12 feet in the sanctuary.
Right.
You know, you're going to be face to face with an opportunity
it's
to love somebody.
It's scary yet exciting at the same time.
And you get God's answer, then you say, now what?
Right.
And then something seems to nudge you to say, ask about or observe something that you wouldn't have observed before.
Right.
The Spirit can nudge us that way just to make that one little correction in our vision to notice something that he notices.
Right.
And I've said before in this program that God, if he really truly is inhabiting the center of our being, and we say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is something that is practical and literal, it's not a figurative or metaphorical idea, mm-hmm. that God literally comes to rest in the temple, which is our body. Therefore, where our hands go, he goes. Where our eyes look, he sees. Where our feet walk, he feels the ground below your feet. Mm-hmm. He sits with people by feeling the dirt on the ground you're sitting in. Mm-hmm. That's how close intimate God is to what you are experiencing, and he is experiencing that through you. Mm-hmm. Taking that seriously means that when you observe somebody, like these three kids you're talking about, and you ask God to say, show me something I need to know about these kids so I can speak to them and do unto them what you would want to do if you were here. And God says, if I were here?
Right.
You are here.
Right.
Because I'm in you. Get busy.
Right. And a lot of times, once we make ourselves open to that, we don't have any idea that God is using you right here, right now.
Yeah.
sometimes it can even take years before you look back and say, ah, I get it. Now I see why this happened, or why God put it on my heart to do this or to say that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see.
And how does that then inform the way you lead worship?
For me, it simply means when I sit down at my desk to put aside distractions, to spend time before I even take one note and put it down on paper, just to say, God, I need you to talk to me right now. Mm. I don't know what Joe's going to walk through our doors with as far as baggage on Sunday morning, but God knows.
Yeah.
And so when I sit down a week or two or 3 weeks out to begin to plan, God knows exactly what Joe needs 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. So for me, what it really means is simply saying to God, use me and show me where you want us to go. And that even means that Sunday morning, God might have a different direction, and I got to be ready for it. Now, as a musician, that can be a challenge, mm-hmm. especially in a church environment where you're working with volunteer musicians who don't necessarily have the technical ability to pull up a new song at the last second or change keys or whatever it may be. That's why it's so important to be listening to God early.
Yeah.
Preparation for me and being open.
And then being flexible in the back end to realize that all that preparation may have been preparing you for something you weren't planning for.
Absolutely.
I remember a worship service I was leading back, I don't know, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. where you had a beautiful worship time on the rehearsal night. I think it was a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really powerful. Stuff was going on with the worship team where a lot of things were coming out and being laid on the table. There was such surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just lovely to be there with them. It was a worship service. It wasn't a rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And we carry that over with expectancy to Sunday morning, saying, man, would it be great if what we had on Wednesday could be here on Sunday morning? We said that to each other before we got up there to start leading worship.
Right.
And then we finished doing the worship set. The pastor was getting ready to stand up and speak the word and then get into the Bible and teach us. He stood up and looked around, looked back down at his Bible, and he said, I got nothing.
Right.
Keep worshiping.
Right.
And he sat back down.
Isn't that amazing when that happens?
Mm.
Yeah. I have been fortunate in the past to be in environments where the pastor was open to that.
Yeah.
Boy, the Spirit does amazing things. And, you know, those are the moments where we as musicians, we get scared because,
What next?
Right.
In our situation, this happened 7 times in a row.
Wow.
In one service. You would have thought we were some kind of tent revival going on. But what happened in each phase of that became kind of like a station of the cross, where we finished our worship. We came back, we thought, well, I guess we need to sing some more because that's what we had planned for.
Right.
We were halfway through the song, and one of the worship leaders with me said, no, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. Friends, I think we need to be praying for so-and-so and mentioned this family. Didn't even know why he was saying that.
Right.
So taking the cue from that worship leader with me, I went, do you mind come up here so we can pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, they melted.
Mm-hmm.
Something was up.
Mm-hmm.
So the family came up together, and people in their family were on their deathbeds and had a horrible accident.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't told a soul.
Oh, my.
So we prayed, and the pastor got up to preach. I got nothing. He sat back down again.
Mm-hmm.
The work of the Spirit ping-ponged around the auditorium that morning.
Absolutely.
This was not a Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm.
This was a button-down Nazarene church.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we were done, we were spent.
Yeah.
Mm. And I remember the meal afterwards. It was just one of those afterglows where it was just nice to be together.
Right.
We just ate, mostly in quietude, but just kind of leaning on each other, praying from time to time, just singing songs.
Right.
There was nothing more to say.
I am looking forward, to be honest with you, to our worship this coming Sunday at the church that I'm at right now. We've got 3 families in our church that within the last 2 weeks have lost somebody.
Mm.
Expectation that I have right now comes out of the experience that the Holy Spirit is going to show up.
Mm.
And he knows the needs, the pain, the hurt that those families are experiencing right now.
Mm.
Somewhere, Sunday morning, God is going to touch them.
Mm.
I don't know where that's going to be. Maybe it's in one of the songs that he's leading us to sing Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to be in a word of scripture that the pastor shares. I don't know. But what I do know is I want to be ready for it, and I want to be prepared for it and open for it when it does happen.
Yeah.
Because those are the moments, like right now, I see that tear in your eye. Those are the moments that leave an impact on people when you allow the Spirit to have his way.
And it doesn't always have to be an emotional experience,
no.
But there's something about just knowing that God is there is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't long for it like it's a drug. We need to have another hit of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We just recognize it. I'm glad I was born.
Right.
And that God allowed me to be.
Yeah.
Because I get to be here to watch him do his work. And wow.
My church is learning about community right now. And experiences like, I think we might have this coming Sunday because we've got three families that are going to be hurting this week. It's going to be exciting to see our family be a family Sunday. You know, I just can't wait to see how that manifests itself.
Another question I'd like to ask you, Andy, is having stepped down from a program, a standard, this is a career kind of job in ministry, to where you are now and going into creative work you were not expecting to do. You're now a professional photographer as well as doing worship life at a church. And going to a small church where it seemed like it's a step down. I had heard before from mentors of ours, we heard the story many times, that there are no steps down in God's plan.
No.
And where you step up is where God is lifting you to new places of ministry. And every step in maturity and going farther down the road is always up in His eyes.
Right.
So you step into a new kind of responsibility of being a shepherd as well as a worship leader. And you're having that love grow in you for these families that have real needs. You're more aware of them than you ever would have been in a large church.
Right.
But you don't want the church to stay small forever. You want it to grow.
Right.
In numbers and in maturity and an impact in your community. So reach out with me and imagineer this thing 3, 5, 10 years down the road. Because there's lots of people listening to the program right now that are in churches like that where they would love to grow. But they don't see potential for it to happen where their community is. Maybe the community is not growing. So they assume that the church can't grow. Talk some encouragement now into people that are hearing this program today from your experience. What kind of things do you pray for? What kind of things do you get honest with God about? And what kind of things does God put in your heart to pray for that are world-changing for you?
There's a lot of layers to that.
Yeah.
For me, what it comes down to is asking God to make me aware of my community. For example,
this is the first step of mission right here.
Right. Yeah. The neighborhood that my church is in is different than the neighborhood 5 miles from there or 10 miles from there. But God has us in this neighborhood. So my prayer is, what are the needs that are represented in this neighborhood?
Again, not the church, but the neighborhood, the place where you live, looking at all the people that God's given you to look at.
Right. Yep. Now, we're a small church, and we do have people that drive for 10, 15, 20 miles to get there. So they're not in the immediate neighborhood, but it's still the same community. And so what it boils down for me is, what are the needs that are represented around our church? When a church is willing to look at those needs more than just acknowledging, maybe we've got a lot of single parents in this neighborhood. Okay. What are you going to do about it then? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Precisely. Now, this is the kind of stuff we talk about missionally, about how we do our projects every month. You know, right now we're focused on the babies being rescued in South Africa because of the Door of Hope project we'd sponsored for many years, which we're hoping people will step up to and help us big time this year with. But you're saying something that I want to ask for some clarification. When you look at the community around you, you also have a church community, which is the kingdom of God within that community. There's something that seems to happen for churches that take the community around them seriously, that they say, their hurts are my hurts. Their needs are our needs. In fact, their wants are things we're going to pray for because they need to know that someone else acknowledges their need. And not just looking at it, but coming to the level of being able to do something practical about that means taking ownership for the bigger community. Churches that do that are not just socially active, they're on mission. So how is that playing out for you then?
My church is in transition with that right now.
Okay.
Like a lot of churches in America, they're comfortable.
There's more of this conversation coming up next time here on Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.